unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Cut the damn music. I am having a very bad day. I'm not really in the mood for much today. I'm going to be the first to admit it. I'm not really in the mood for much. Now, for those of you who don't know, I know you know you're listening to the Stephen A. Smith Show right here over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. It's 888-623-3646. Plus, you can send me your voicemail messages at SiriusXM.com/GetSirious. For those of you who don't know, I am a native New Yorker. That's who I am. Outside of the Pittsburgh Steelers, because the first play that I ever saw in football was the immaculate reception by Franco Harris when I was 5 years old. Outside of that, I'm all about New York. All the time, okay? I know there's great parts throughout this country. I know there's great people everywhere. I know there's great fan bases in other cities and all of that other stuff. But I am about New York. I am about New York. And never, ever can I recall a weekend being this disappointing, this demoralizing, this disgusting. And for those of you out there that are laughing at me already, damn it, I don't blame you. If it was your city, I'd be laughing at you too. Because that's the kind of troll I can be. So I get it, and I understand it, and I understand this insatiable appetite to get at me, and I got it. But damn it, I would ask you on this particular day to have some sympathy for me. Have some sympathy. My objectivity is out the window. Because when you got the kind of weekend that I've had, watching my sports team, one after another, drop like a cheap bag of bricks, then it's not a good feeling. So let's count the ways. The New York Jets are an absolute travesty. They can't run, they can't block, they can't throw, they can't catch, they can't tackle. It's just very bad. And I'm a black man. And a very proud black man, and I bring that up because I'm not rooting against Aaron Glenn. But for those that are watching him right now and how ill-prepared the Jets appear to be, if they were of the mindset that there needs to be a new coach in East Rutherford, New Jersey, I can't come to his defense. I won't call for it. I don't wish for it, but I can't defend him either. Consider me the defense attorney with an aspiring client that's guilty as hell and there's absolutely positively no defense for him. Why would I want to make that case? Why would I want to embrace that case? That's how I feel about Aaron Glenn as head coach for the New York Jets right now and how inept they appear to be. Then we transition to the New York Giants. We were supposed to be seeing something different. I mean, this cat Jackson Dart's got some swag, and he can throw the football, blah, blah, blah. And you see Brian Daboll hugging and kissing him like he's an adopted son. That is until he commits one fumble after another. That is until the Giants are trailing 19-14 and scatterboo this dude out of Arizona State fumbles the football and ultimately New Orleans picks it up and runs it back to the house and goes up 26-14. It's after the New York Giants just considered to make one comedy of errors after another. And that's it. Oh, but don't stop there, ladies and gentlemen. You would think that's bad enough in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I said, hell, at least I got the state of New York to lean on. Western New York, Buffalo. And what do? They let Drake May and Stephon Diggs and Mike Vrabel roll up in the Bills Mafia and take them out on Sunday Night Football. So you got that going on. And then last but not least, I got my Yankees. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm kind of speechless when it comes to the New York Yankees. Do y'all know that for the first 14 innings of this series against the Toronto Blue Jays, the New York Yankees were outscored 22-1? This is in baseball. This is not a football game. This is baseball. This is not a basketball game. This is baseball. It usually takes you a few games to score 22 runs. It took the Toronto Blue Jays 14 innings. Freed and Heal, supposedly aces for the New York Yankees, especially Mr. Max Freed and his $218 million contract. This dude shows up and gets smacked around. He got pimp slapped in Canada. Just straight pimp slapped. That's right, I said it. Just getting blitzed. Do y'all know that the Toronto Blue Jays had more home runs than strikeouts? Let that sink in. The Toronto Blue Jays had more home runs in the first two games of this series that they are now up 2-0 against the New York Yankees in the ALDS. They have more home runs, 8 home runs and 7 strikeouts. 8 home runs and 7 strikeouts. The Yankees' ERA in the first round series, in a wild card series against the Boston Red Sox, was 1.33. Against the Toronto Blue Jays, it is over 14. So once again, it's Brian Cashman, it's Aaron Boone reminding us how valuable pitching is. And how do we know this? Because the Yankees don't have it when it counts. Now, that young kid, that pitched against Boston. I mean, he was spectacular. Shut down Boston. And we say, hey, wait a minute now, he got some pitching. This is going to be special. And then lo and behold, things change around and they go to Canada. And it's almost like they were held at the border and wasn't allowed entry. You know, it was delayed and they were just tired or fatigued or whatever. I'm going to tell you what I get from it. The Yankees were so bad. I say this jokingly that, you know what? You know, maybe ICE and Trump should let them back in. I mean, that's how bad they were. Certainly shouldn't let them in city limits. But maybe I shouldn't joke about that. That's kind of inappropriate. So I apologize. But that's how disgusted I am with the New York Yankees right now. It's just that damn bad. Can't pitch, can't get hitting when they need it. I don't give a damn about your 7 runs after you were down 12-0 in the 5th inning. I could care less. You were getting pimp slapped. And that's what happened. And so as a result, I sit here before you on this Monday afternoon with absolutely, positively nothing to cheer about as a New Yorker. Absolutely nothing. I mean, the regular season for the NBA hasn't started yet, so we can't lean on the Knicks. The Mets are home. They didn't even make the postseason with their $320 to $340 million payroll. Despite Juan Soto smacking 42 home runs, despite Nimmo and Lindor and Alonso doing their thing, their pitching didn't show up. Everywhere I turn, nothing but bad news if you're a New Yorker. So I decide to slide down. You know what? Okay, maybe let me just leave town and let me just hop on I-95. Maybe I should go to Philadelphia. That ain't going to work. Philadelphia Eagles decide to forget that they got Saquon Barkley as a running back, run the football just 2 times in the entire second half, end up giving up a double-digit 14-point lead to the Denver Broncos, who came back, scored 18 unanswered points. Okay? And beat the Philadelphia Eagles. By the way, Sean Payton goes for it for a 4th and 2 for a 2-point conversion. The first time in Sean Payton's career, coaching nearly 300 games, 298 to be exact, that the man ever went for a go-ahead 2-point conversion. And did it. And did it in the fourth quarter. You got Jalen Hurts out there. I don't know whether he overthrew A.J. Brown or if A.J. Brown ran a wrong route and just stopped hustling. Now you don't hear just about A.J. Brown, but you also hear about Devontae Smith complaining because they got a new offensive coordinator that ain't calling the right plays, ain't running the right offense, and ain't getting them involved nearly as enough. So what does Nick Sirianni do? Listening to the noise. He capitulates to it, and he decides, I'm going to throw about 38 times. I'm going to run the football significantly less than that, virtually not at all in the second half. And the Philadelphia Eagles lose the damn game. This is what we're living with. And so they're no longer amongst the undefeated. Just like Buffalo was no longer amongst the undefeated after New England took them out. So then if you decide to go further down I-95, you're going to stop in Baltimore. And you might as well keep on going. Because looking at the Baltimore Ravens, it's bad. It's really, really, really bad. I mean, their defense is horrid. The Houston Texans did what they wanted, when they wanted, how they wanted, whenever they damn well pleased. C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, and the crew doing whatever the hell they wanted to do. And so much for Cooper Rush as the backup. I mean, with Lamar Jackson now, talk about not doing a damn thing, not getting anything done. That's what happened when we're looking at the Baltimore Ravens right now. And you heard those boos. And I'm telling you right now, if this continues, you're going to hear folks calling for John Harbaugh's job. It's not going to be me because I think the man has done too much good over the years. Now, I understand that since he arrived around 2008, even though they won a Super Bowl, they've given up 17 double-digit fourth-quarter leads under John Harbaugh's watch in his career, which is very bad. I understand that Lamar Jackson has been there since 2018, and they've yet to make it to a Super Bowl with one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. I understand they failed last year when Mark Andrews dropped the two-point conversion with Derrick Henry having a monster of a year. The only reason we didn't mention him more was because Saquon Barkley was rushing for over 2,000 yards, but we forget that Derrick Henry had 1,921 yards. That guy seems to be a shell of himself. He ain't on his game right now. Even though I believe he'll get it together. And believe it or not, I still haven't ruled out giving the Ravens a chance to win the AFC North. But I don't blame y'all if y'all have. I can't front. I don't blame y'all if y'all have. Because right now, when you look at the Baltimore Ravens, I don't know what the hell is going on with them. They had like 8 starters out. I get that. Hamilton's out. Madubuke is out. Van Noy just got back. I got it. I understand. But you're not supposed to look as bad as this team has looked. There is no excuse. There is no way on earth that they should look as bad as John Harbaugh has them looking right now. You got to remain competitive. And this is where we bring up a guy like Mike Tomlin. Because, see, Mike Tomlin has never had a Lamar Jackson as his quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger stayed 2 years longer than he should have. And ever since then, you had a Mason Rudolph, you had a Mitchell Trubisky, you had a Justin Fields, you had a Russell Wilson, you had cats like that. Mike Tomlin has not had a quarterback the magnitude of Lamar Jackson. What if he did? What if he did? Because, see, if you're John Harbaugh, where do you go from here? Right now, you know, there's no Ray Lewis is not walking through that door. Ed Reed is not walking through that door. Tete Sizzle, Terrell Suggs, he is not walking through that door. But you, John Harbaugh, they're supposed to be better than this. They're supposed to be better than this. There's no way around it. There's no excuse for it. And by the way, one of the other things that's on my mind before I go to break, let me say this, getting to college football. At some point in time today, we got to talk about James Franklin. I was getting ready to say Kirk Franklin, but that's because I think divine intervention is needed, and maybe James Franklin needs some gospel music supporting him. I don't know what else to say. Ladies and gentlemen, they lost to UCLA, 0-4 UCLA. Half the damn stadium was empty. Nobody's thinking about UCLA. Their program is in shambles. Penn State walked into this season ranked top 2 in the nation. They lost a thriller in overtime to Oregon. Now, prior to that, they beat in what, Nevada, like Florida International, somebody in Villanova, if I remember correctly. But you lose to Oregon, you got to win those games, but it's no shame if it was anybody else. It's a shame for if you're Penn State, because James Franklin's reputation is that he cannot win the big game. He gets to the Final Four last year, the college football playoffs. He loses to Notre Dame, even though it was a thriller. You lost to Ohio State last year. You lost to Oregon last year. And that loss, you know, in the semifinals of the playoffs to Notre Dame was your third loss. But you were in the playoffs. This year, they started out top two in the nation. They are now out of the top 25. They are 1-10 against Ohio State. They are 3-7 against Michigan. They are 1-18 against Big Ten, top 10 competition in James Franklin's career at Penn State. This is very bad when you have a reputation at a big-time program as somebody who can't win the big-time games. This is very bad. There's no way around this. And again, here we are, talking about a black coach. I'm not rooting against the man. I want the man to succeed. But it's bad. It's bad. So all of those things are things that we have to talk about along with the rest of the NFL slate and whatever's going on. I mean, Daniel Jones balling in Indy. Cam Ward in Tennessee getting his first win. Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers squeezing out a thriller over Seattle yet again. Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. I shouldn't say Kyler Murray. It ain't his fault that Arizona's blowing three games in a row, losing on the last play of the game, the field goal winning kick. I mean, you talk about these guys. DeMarcado and not running into the end zone before letting the ball go, an idiotic mistake. I mean, there's so much stuff that went on in the NFL this weekend. But those are the things that are on my mind at this particular moment in time because I'm frustrated. I don't usually like bringing my frustration. I like to be a ray of hope. I like to be the guy that's enthusiastic. I know I call it like I see it. I know that, but I like to be the guy that's enthusiastic and I just break it down to you and give it to you straight, but letting you know that still there's light at the end of the tunnel. I see nothing but darkness in New York. I see nothing but misery. And you know what? We in October. That means Thanksgiving is just a month away. That means Christmas is just 2 months away. These people are going to ruin our holidays in New York. They're going to ruin our holidays. I mean, this is just bad. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. This 888-623-3646. That is the number to call in to the Stephen A. Smith Show. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Plus, let's not forget that if you don't want to stay on the line and you want to just send in a voicemail message, you can go to SiriusXM.com/get serious. That's SiriusXM.com/get serious. Remember I brought up college football? Well, there was a reason for that. In college football, number 7 Penn State and number 9 Texas fell in the rankings after surprising losses. In the NFL, the Broncos mounted a fourth quarter comeback to hand the Eagles their first loss. And in fantasy, Rico Dowdle and Jonathan Taylor led fantasy managers to week 5 victories. We are talking football right now on NFL Radio Channel 88 and Mad Dog Sports Radio Channel 82. College Sports Radio has college football covered on Channel 84. And Fantasy Football Talk is on Fantasy Sports Radio Channel 87. Or listen on the SiriusXM app. Your calls and more in a minute. I got some stuff off my chest. I imagine it's nothing compared to what y'all want to get off y'all chest. I'm here for it, and I don't blame you one bit. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls and more in a minute.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
Past hour number one back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up as always is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. I don't know if y'all, before I get back to the calls, or to the calls rather, and to your voicemail messages, I'm quite sure everybody's heard about this story, and I'm sorry by not bringing it up earlier. That's my fault. My producers were on top of it. I dropped the ball on this one. Mark Sanchez, former quarterback for the New York Jets, you know, Mr. Butt Fumble himself. Well, he might have fumbled in an entirely different way that's strongly to his detriment now. And that is because he's being charged with a felony. Now, mind you, Mark Sanchez in the hospital, he's the one that got stabbed 3 times by somebody. Apparently, according to prosecutors who are still investigating, some guy was doing his job out there pumping oil or whatever it was out of some restaurant. Don't quote me on this because I don't know all the details yet. Some truck he was doing. I forgot what he was doing. Nevertheless, Mark Sanchez allegedly, supposedly, reportedly was stone cold drunk. Goes up to the guy bothering him and then proceeds to go into the guy's truck. They don't know whether the guy was drunk or whatever, but evidently, Mark Sanchez proceeded to beat the living hell out of the guy. It was a grease truck. You know, grease from restaurants and, you know, taking grease from restaurants and disposing of it. The guy was just out there doing his job. Because I was looking at the report and I'm saying, how the hell is Mark Sanchez being arrested and charged with a felony and he's the one that got stabbed? Well, it turns out he was so drunk that he went up to the guy that was just doing his job and then proceeded to go into the guy's truck. And when the guy leaned in to tell him to get out of the truck, Mark Sanchez decided to beat the living hell out of him. And apparently the guy was jacked up real bad. And then after he beat him up, he kept coming for him. And that's when the guy pulled out his knife, I guess, and stabbed him. So Mark Sanchez is being charged. According to the Marion County prosecutor, Ryan Mayers, he says this incident should never have happened. What began as a disagreement between a 38-year-old former professional athlete and a 69-year-old man should not have escalated into violence or left anyone seriously injured. That's the statement from the prosecutor. But Mark Sanchez right now, according to the reports, is facing anywhere from 1 to 6 years in jail. Oh, my Lord. Hour number two, going to have our very own Ryan Smith, legal analyst extraordinaire for ABC and ESPN, plus host of SportsCenter. He'll be on to talk with us about this. And then some. So stick around. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Before I get to the phone calls, Jaden Bartley in Lakewood, Colorado, sent me this voicemail message.
The Broncos are arguably the best team in the AFC, especially after beating the Eagles. I think the only team in the AFC that's even close.
I couldn't hear it, so I don't know if you could. Essentially, what he says is the Broncos are arguably the best team in the AFC, especially after beating the Eagles. I think the only team in the AFC that's even close to the Buffalo Bills. I think that's the conversation in the AFC, the Bills or the Broncos. No, Jaden, I'm not rolling with you on that. I'm not rolling with you on that. I'm going to say that's a blasphemous take. And the reason I'm going to say that to you is because when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, I can't ignore them. I saw what I saw from them, okay? I saw what I saw from them when they got Xavier Worthy back. What about once they get Rashee Rice back in a week or so? What about then? Okay? Been suspended for 6 games. What about when he comes back? What about when they have him and Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown and Travis Kelce on the football field together, which has never happened since they signed on with the Kansas City Chiefs? What you gonna do then? What you gonna do then? That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm coming from with it. I'm sorry. I'm not giving you that. Not giving you that. I appreciate the call, though. Thank you so much. Let's go with Lou in South Carolina. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Lou? How are you?
Fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I don't know if it was a mistake on the screen, but when Buffalo was about to accept that field goal to lose the game, it looked like they had 50-some seconds to go and they had timeouts. If that was not a mistake, why didn't they take timeouts rather than let the clock run down to 3 seconds?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't, because you would imagine they would let the clock run down. So your point is valid there. Doesn't make much sense, to be quite honest with you. Maybe there was some confusion on that part. Who knows? With all the comedy of errors we've seen from people in the NFL this year, why assume the best-case scenario? Why not assume the worst?
Well, I give a lot of credit to the defense of the
Patriots.
Patriots for shutting down Buffalo, even though Buffalo made a lot of mistakes.
Three turnovers, two by Josh Allen.
Yep.
We can't ignore that.
I enjoy your time on the radio. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. By the way, the Bills committed 11 penalties, accepted penalties, for 90 yards against them. All right? And while we both y'all listen, Drake May is making a lot of noise in a lot of people's eyes. But how about Stephon Diggs? The only thing that Stephon Diggs has been in the news for in recent memory is his relationship with Cardi B. And now we're seeing him getting back to football. 113 of his 146 receiving yards came in the second half against his former team, the Buffalo Bills. He flat out balled. Make no mistake about it. You got to give credit where credit's due. 10 catches on 12 targets. And Drake May, 13 of 14 for 184 yards in the second half. We ain't confusing him with Tom Brady or anything like that. But when you've had Tom Brady, you've been spoiled by having him for 20 years. And then they nosedive the way that they did over the previous 4 to 5 years with Bill Belichick and Gerard Mayo, right? It is nice to see the New England Patriots have a quarterback, somebody that they can hand the football to, and they say, this guy is our leader. They have that. They appear to have that in New England. So we got to give credit where credit is due. Major props to them. I'm happy for them. Plain and simple. You got to just give credit where credit is due. All right, let's go to Sean in Massachusetts. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Sean? Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hey, Stephen A. Always an honor to talk to you, man.
Appreciate it.
But don't
sound like you just woke up, though. Get up, bro. Come on now. Get some bass in your voice. Let's go.
Okay.
All right.
Trying to keep everybody. So it's kind of low around here. But Patriots, that was a great win. Next to nobody thought we could beat the Bills. The only thing around, especially around here in New England, it was, can you compete with them? Can you make it close? But to win that game was amazing. But you can't do that against New Orleans. But you can't do all that and then lose to New Orleans next week. That's fair.
You're right about that. That would deflate everything. All the momentum that you're building, if you turn around and lose to New Orleans next week, you'll show that, you know what, it was just fool's gold. Any given Sunday, that was your Sunday, but there's nothing to write home about if you lose to New Orleans because you shouldn't.
Yeah, and then my second point, if I'm the Chicago Bears, I'm a little nervous. Even though Caleb Williams has been playing well, the next two quarterbacks was Jaden Daniels and Drake May. And they're balling. And now you're thinking, did we get the right guy? Did we get the right guy for our franchise? Because the two guys after them, I was like, they're very, very good.
Well, let me say this to you. Jaden Daniels is special. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm looking at Caleb Williams' numbers right now. He's completing nearly 62.5% of his passes. 8 touchdowns, just 2 turnovers, 927 yards. By the way, they've won 2 straight, okay? They've won 2 straight.
That's fair.
And so I'm looking at it from this standpoint. Now, listen to me. I'm looking at it. They beat Dallas. They beat the Las Vegas Raiders, which ain't saying much after watching the Raiders get shellacked by the Indianapolis coach yesterday. I got that part. But Caleb Williams is no scrub. He's got an NFL body. He can scramble. He's got a rifle of an arm. I mean, I've seen potential there. And you also have to remember this. In Drake May, you got Vrabel. And you got the Crafts running the show. So from an organizational standpoint, you're in a good position. Okay? If you are, you know, Jaden Daniels, you got Josh Harris as the new owner. You got, with Magic Johnson and those boys as the group helping them out. And you've got Quinn as your head coach. And you got Kingsbury as an offensive coordinator, which is where he belongs. You're looking at Caleb Williams. Understand that in 18 months, the man has had 4 offensive coordinators.
And three head coaches.
I mean, can we give him a chance is what I'm saying. I got faith in Kevin Warren, the CEO running the Chicago Bears. I know him a little bit. I got faith in him. I got faith that he can turn things around and do some things. Let's see. And Ben Johnson, I mean, they're 2-2. And who knows how he'll get this offense clicking and how he'll get Caleb Williams clicking, because he looked pretty damn good against the Cowboys and the Raiders. Now, let's give credit where credit is due. All I'm saying, though, is you got 3 head coaches and 4 offensive coordinators in 18 months. How many people have to go through that, bro? Think about that.
That's fair.
All right.
So he just got to continue to play well, to quiet
we'll
that
see.
Type of noise. That's
well, we
say.
Know that.
We'll see.
We know that.
We'll see.
Appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. Let's go to Mike in South Carolina. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Mike? Talk to me. How you doing, my man? How's everything going?
It couldn't be any better watching Money Mayfield yesterday.
That yeah, he's balling, man. He's a lead. He's a top two candidate for league MVP honors right now.
I totally agree. Yeah, him and Dak, I'd say, are really playing the quarterback level at an extreme high level. I've been watching Baker because I'm a Sooner fan since he was with us. And I'll tell you, yesterday, I think that's the best I've ever seen him play. He was some of the throws were just – it was Marino-esque. I mean, he was just putting the ball on the money. He's moving well, no turnovers. I tell you what, Stephen A., this team gets fully healthy, fully loaded. They're going to be able to put up points on about anybody.
Well, listen. You're talking about Mike Evans once he gets back, Godwin and Egbuka?
Wow.
I mean, you talk about Baker Mayfield, and by the way, an offensive line that can protect him.
Right.
Wolfing the boys. I'm looking at them and I'm saying they can make some noise. I can't summarily dismiss them. I can't rule them out. You're damn right they can make some noise. Tampa Bay's got a chance. Todd Bowles, his defense is going to amp it up. They're going to come at you. They're going to blitz you all day, every day. You got to know how to play with pressure going up against Todd Bowles because he's going to eat you up. You know that.
But I was impressed. I was impressed with Sam yesterday. He looked good for Seattle, man. I mean, he was slinging the ball very well, too.
That's true.
I know they're both glad to be out of New York and Cleveland, two loser organizations.
Yep.
They're in good places.
You
and
got
man,
me.
I think
you got
have
me.
Great
I mean, you didn't have to call rub it in, Mike. I thought we were boys. I mean, you didn't have to call it rub it in like that. You didn't have to do that.
Come on, Stephen A. You got a strong back.
Yeah, I thought I was your brother. I mean, that's some stuff to do right there. You know, Sam Darnold threw for 341 yards yesterday.
Wow.
341 yards, Sam Darnold.
That reminded me of Marino and Ken O'Brien in 86. I swear, I was watching that game yesterday, it was like the Jet-Dolphin game in 86.
Oh, my Lord.
That was beautiful.
You're right
football.
About it. But you really rubbing it in, going to bring up Kenny. Oh, my God. Goodbye, man. Bye, Mike. Have a nice day. Mike just rubbing it in right now. I don't blame him, though. I deserve it. No doubt about it. Let's see. Let's go to Corey in Illinois. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Corey? How are you?
What's up? What's up, Stephen A? It's always a pleasure to talk to you like always, man.
Thank you, man. What's going on?
These damn Yankees is what's on my mind, man. Here we go again. I ain't even going to get into it. What I'm going to get into it today with you today, Stephen A, is I'm going to go back down this rabbit hole. I'm talking about the Raiders again. I'm talking about Pete Carroll's defense again. I'm talking about Max Crosby again, coming out not touching the quarterback again. I'm coming out seeing Danny Dimes. You called it before to talk about MVP. I think Danny Dimes is the one of the two in the MVP race right now.
I think top three is Baker Mayfield, Dak Prescott, and Daniel Jones.
I agree.
Those are the top three candidates for league MVP right now.
But then we got to go look at Geno. We can't put all – look, I can get as mad as I want at Geno Smith, but we can't put it all on him. He has no cast. He has no supporting cast with him. The guys are hurt. No one's on the same page. This offense looks like it's a high school run offense.
Hold on, bro. You watched the game yesterday, right?
Yes, sir.
Have you noticed that Geno Smith has already thrown 9 interceptions on the season?
Man, he's got more interceptions than we got touchdowns.
There we go.
He's got more interceptions than we got touchdowns.
He's got a QBR 37. Come on, bro. You can't let him off the hook. You can't.
No, I ain't letting him off the hook.
That's part of the problem.
He's got to get off the Las Vegas Raiders hook, because if Pete Carroll's steadily talking about he's still going to stick with Geno because he needs practice time in the fourth quarter when you're down 40-3, come on, man. If Pete Carroll can't get out of his own way, someone's going to have to move him out, because this ain't it right here. He talked about he was coming in winning 10 games this year. Did he win in 10 games? I ain't seen that man do nothing since he didn't get Marshawn Lynch the ball on the 1-yard line, Stephen A. Smith. With that, I'll let you go. Have a good day.
That's a long time ago, even though he'll never be forgiven for that. We understand that. He should have gave the ball to Beast Mode in the Super Bowl, but he wanted Russell Wilson to be the hero instead of Marshawn Lynch, and that was the beginning of the end for the Legion of Boom and the Seattle Seahawks. We all know that. The flip side to it, however, is that when you look at the Raiders now, 10 turnovers in the first 5 games with Geno Smith leading the league in interceptions. Listen, I just don't know what to say. You didn't have Brock Bowers. You didn't have Mike Mayer. I got that part. All right. Ashton Jeanty says he opened his mouth. You know, he's had some flashes, but they just don't have enough. They just don't. The Raiders are just, I mean, you're in Vegas. You're in Vegas, man. I mean, you want to go to Vegas. I mean, my God, they just look awful. Say what you will. I'm going to say it again. They wouldn't be like this with John Gruden. They wouldn't be like this with John Gruden. I'm going to say it. It's just the truth. They wouldn't be like this with John Gruden. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number. Call up this 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls, your voicemails, and some more. Mark Sanchez. Oh, my God. That story's just getting ugly and ugly. About an hour. That, along with some more NFL and some baseball talk in a minute. Don't go away. It's the Stephen A. Smith Show right here on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio.
Past hour number one back here, the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, hour number two, late hour number two. We'll have legal analyst extraordinaire Ryan Smith on the line with us to talk to us about the whole Mark Sanchez situation, what's transpired, what's developing, what kind of trouble is he looking at. So stay tuned to the Stephen A. Smith Show right here over at Mad Dog Sports Radio. We'll get into that and have some answers for you before Mad Dog comes on with his afternoon drive show at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. The number to call up as always is 888-MAD-DOG-6. It's 888-623-3646. Let's go back to the phones. Mike in New Jersey, you're live with Stephen A. What's going on, Mike? How are you?
Hey, Stephen A.
How are you, yeah, my brother? Talk
you know
to
what?
Me.
Yes. You know, I've been a Giant fan since Y.A. Tittle. And wow. New York fan, you know, Bucky Dent with the Yankees. And I'm totally disgusted. Yeah. With New York.
Well, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question. I know why I'm disgusted. Why are you disgusted? Give me the reason. The number one reason that you're so freaking disgusted with the New York Yankees, because I know why I am. What's your reason?
Because, you know what? I drank the Kool-Aid. I thought that maybe this would be the year that they would have their ducks in a row. And they let me down all the time, you know? And, you know, from when Gerard was the manager, you know, and it just keeps going. It just
You talk about Girardi. You talk about Girardi. Here's what I would say to you. What disgusts me is that, Mike, what wins in baseball? What
Games.
Wins in baseball, Mike? What wins championships for you in baseball?
Games win.
Pitches. Pitching.
Pitching, yes. Yes.
And the Yankees always are looking up at someone with superior pitching. It really ticks me off. Like, you know, you can't get the aces. You know, you got Skeens in Pittsburgh and Scooble in Detroit and Crochet in Boston, even though they just beat Boston, but Crochet put it on them in game one. I mean, I'm sick and tired of the elite pitchers being somewhere other than in a Yankee uniform. That's what bothers me. And I also think I really, and this is just a feeling, I know nothing about this because I haven't heard it from anyone. You know, listen, when you're in this business as long as I have, you either get the information yourself, you have access to it through your sources, et cetera, or your colleagues and contemporaries. Like, for example, you know, for me personally, I covered basketball religiously. I didn't cover football like I have to cover football now. I didn't cover baseball, but I've always been connected to those who did. So it's nothing for me to the Adam Schefters, the Wojnarowskis back in the day, and now Shams Charania and his great self, and, you know, so many other folks, football analysts, baseball analysts, the Buster Onis of the world came on this show. Tim Kirkjian's going to be on this show. Harold Reynolds and others. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on and on, right? So it's nothing for me to pick up the phone and get perspective and get information from my colleagues and contemporaries in this business. Okay, when you've been in this business as long as I have, you can get it from there. Hell, I can call Doggy anytime I want to. How many people know more baseball than Doggy? So you got all of that going on, right? But I'm saying all of that to say, you know, religiously, you see these people and they're pointing out what you need to win. And somehow, some way, it never happens for the Yankees. It doesn't happen. And it just drives me nuts. To be outscored 22-1 in the first 14 innings of this series, to be down 12-0 in the fifth after losing 10-1, 10-2 in game one, to get shellacked like that. And I bring up the connections, right? Because here's the deal, Mike. When Soto left last year, I didn't have anybody tell me this. This was all me. I firmly believe Soto left because he didn't believe in the Yankees. He didn't believe, it wasn't about the money. He didn't believe that a guy like Aaron Judge would show up in the postseason. He didn't believe that Aaron Boone would show up. He didn't believe that Brian Cashman would give him the horses that he need. And he got an organization still trying to live off their daddy, talking about, you know, stuff like facial hair, or we don't give players access to suites, you know, like we do with other, you know, all of this other stuff. Nah, that's not going to cut it. Not when you're trying to win. Not when you're trying to win. I remember years ago, and I was so glad because obviously, depending on who you talk to, the story's different. But when LeBron was in Miami and Dwayne Wade and them talked about how LeBron came on that plane and the first sign that he knew that LeBron was going to be up out of there was when LeBron was looking for his chocolate chip cookies and Pat Riley had them removed. Now, there are people on the Miami Heat who refute that story. You know, they say that's not true. But this is Dwayne Wade that was talking about this. I mean, you're going to believe Dwayne Wade. That's number one. Number two, the one thing that is believable is that Riley, the winner within, a champion personified, a great, great man, and a great executive, and a former great coach, he gets stuck in his ways and doing things his way. And he wasn't going to relent to a LeBron James. Well, when you have somebody that great, you got to make alterations. You can't treat everybody like they equal. No. He's not. He was different. And because he wasn't treated that way, he was up and out of there. Kevin Durant, up out of Oklahoma City. When Sam Presti went and let him, you know, market his ad and stuff like that, you know, for Nike on the billboards on the side of the arena and stuff like that. You got to make concessions. You got to make concessions for the great ones. You got to do that. And I'm not saying they never have. But I'm saying those are the kind of stories that are out there. And if I'm the Yankees and Juan Soto, I'm not trying to lose that man. That's what I want to say about that, Mike. But go ahead. I'll give you the last word.
Last word is, what do we do with the Giants? I mean, like,
play it
where
out.
Do we go from here? Is it the coach? Is it the ownership? Is it what is
Here's
it?
What I would tell you. Here's what I would tell you. Whether it was Thibodeau, Lawrence, or whomever, I ain't hear much from Abdul Carter, but I got to tell you, I think the Giants got some talent on defense. I think offensively, Jackson Dart is that dude. I think his upside is tremendous. I think if Neighbors was there, had he not gotten injured with Wan'Dale Robinson, I think they could have made some noise. Scatterbull, I see him as a rough and rugged, short yardage kind of guy. I don't see him as your primary back that you're giving the ball to 25, 30 times a game. I just don't view him that way. Not on the NFL level. College is different because he'll run over. He's a man amongst boys. But in NFL, he's not but men. So I just look at it from that standpoint, and I just say the Giants have some pieces there to make things respectable, but they get in their own way, and anytime a team is getting in their own way, you're going to be forced to look at coaching because you got to make them pay. You got to make them scared to make mistakes. You don't want them to play scared, but you don't want them to play so loose that avoiding mistakes are not a priority either. You got to think about all that. And that's why I think Brian Daboll, former coach of the year, who I believe in and I believe can coach, I think he might be in some trouble. I really, really do. That's where I'm at with it. Appreciate the call, Mike. Let's go to Alex in Pennsylvania. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Alex? Talk to me. How are you?
Hey, Stephen A. I'm doing all right. I heard earlier you said about some guy like falling asleep. That was me last Thursday when I called about the Browns quarterback situation. But today is okay. A different story. I am elated. I am excited. I am super pumped for the next six games the Broncos have going into their bye week.
Okay.
I kid you not. I was pacing in my house, praying to every God that's out there from every religion that we would not throw a stupid penalty out, which unfortunately we did, and lose a game, which we did not, which made me so happy at that point. But
12 penalties for 121 yards against the Broncos yesterday.
Yeah, there is just one call that I disagreed with that would have screwed the Broncos, and that was the second-to-last play of the game. I believe that would have been a pass interference, and Denver should not have won that game, but they got lucky at that,
hey, listen,
that call. Other than
I will tell you this. Y'all lucked up because Zach Bond, that was a stupid penalty from him, that unnecessary roughness call that gave y'all a first down and put y'all in position to preserve the game. That was a dumb penalty on his part. That's for the Eagles, number one. But number two, I'll tell you this. I thought y'all should have won the game against Indy. I thought y'all got robbed. I thought that leverage penalty on that field goal attempt was a ridiculous call to make, particularly in that kind of situation. I thought that was utterly ridiculous. I didn't like that call against the Broncos at all. I thought y'all should have won that game.
100% agree with you on that. I mean, we should be atop of the AFC West right now. And with the next six games we have, it's Jets, Giants, Cowboys, Texans, Raiders, Chiefs, and our bye, I could see us going 9-2 or 8-3.
Okay.
We are in a position to give us the top of that West. We have our defense is good enough to do it. Our offense needs a little boost in the ass by, in the first half.
Okay.
We can't be coming back from some of these late games.
All right.
And we have to have some kind of urgency.
Well, look, I got you. I got you. I appreciate the call. Be happy. Courtland Sutton can ball. You got a quarterback in Bo Nix. Showed up in the second half, particularly 9 of 10 pass for 127 yards and a TD in the fourth quarter, leading 3 scoring drives and eating up nearly 12 minutes. Major, major respect to Bo Nix for doing what he did. So let's give credit where credit is due. And you got a defense to lean on and to latch on to. So Denver's no joke. They could end up winning the AFC West. I don't believe they will. I'm still going to go with Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes until further notice. But let me tell you something. I can't dismiss what I'm seeing from the Denver Broncos. No doubt about that. Let's go to Daryl in Richmond real quick. You're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, Daryl. How are you?
Stephen, I'm doing good, man. Hey, look, I hear all the raving fan about Dak Prescott being, at this time playing an MVP status. I hear it on Get Up with your boy Woody and Dan Orlowski. And I think some of it right now a little bit premature. What's your thought process?
I think you're wrong about that because I think you can only go by the games that's playing. It's the NFL. It's an event. And every week you're talking about something different. And all they're talking about is what it is in the moment, at this particular moment in time. You stop traffic to discuss what's transpiring at this particular moment, and then when the further things develop, you acknowledge that and you move forward. That's all. It's no big deal. You know, it's not like you're calling about the MVP in the fifth game of the season when it's 82 games like a basketball or a hockey season, or it's 162 games like a baseball season. There's only 17 games. Almost a third of the season is upon us. There's absolutely nothing wrong with saying this guy is playing on an MVP caliber level. Let's see if it continues or not. And right now, when it comes to Dak Prescott, Baker Mayfield, and Daniel Jones, that's what they're doing.
Okay, I hope he does. Thank you.
Take it easy. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. There's a lot more to get into, a lot more NFL stuff. Baltimore Ravens, I don't know what the hell is going on with them. Chargers, they've lost a couple of games. They've fallen off a little bit. I'm looking at Detroit right now as the team to beat the Eagles. Why you lose this game? Why have you been looking the way that you've been looking? Can you turn it around? All of that we get to talk about, plus the New York Yankees, obviously, plus some more baseball stuff, because who's going to come out of the National League? Is it going to be the Dodgers or somebody else? There's a lot to get into, and, of course, Mark Sanchez is in trouble with the law. All that and more coming up. Hour number two up next with Stephen A.
Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What the hell? My God, what's wrong with people? Welcome to hour number two of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Reminder, every pitch of the 2025 MLB season is on SiriusXM, including home and away broadcast for every team. Today at 6 Eastern, it's game two of the National League Division Series between the Dodgers and the Phillies. Hear the Phillies call in the car on Channel 89, the Dodgers call on 208 or 175, and the ESPN radio call on 80. Your home for expert coverage of the race to the World Series is MLB Network Radio, Channel 89, and the SiriusXM app. I'm reading an article here from the New York Post. It's quite alarming what transpired with Mark Sanchez. There is video footage of Mark Sanchez clutching the right side of his chest, blood all over it. He's staggering along the street, clutching his wound after being stabbed in the side. Dramatic new footage from the Saturday attack shows. Just going to read to you from the article. The former Jets quarterback, 38 years of age, is shown putting a hand on what appears to be a bloody wound just below his chest as he walks down a street in Indianapolis, according to video obtained by the Post. The footage was recorded just minutes after the brawl, just after midnight on Saturday, which resulted in a 69-year-old grease truck driver stabbing Mark Sanchez multiple times after Sanchez attacked him, according to authorities. Sanchez stumbled from an alleyway where the fight happened into a nearby bar where the owner called paramedics. Sanchez, a Fox Sports analyst, now faces upgraded felony charges after initially being rushed to the hospital in a critical condition following the incident. He was previously charged on Sunday with several misdemeanors, but after new details were released about the extent of his victim's injuries, as well as his age, prosecutors decided to charge Sanchez with a level 5 felony battery of causing serious injury. If convicted, Sanchez faces up to 6 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. Accounts from witnesses, the alleged victim, and the police investigation all paint Sanchez as the aggressor after the driver told cops he stabbed a retired pro athlete in self-defense. Quote, "The guy is trying to kill me," the truck driver said he recalled thinking, according to a probable cause affidavit released on Sunday. Surveillance footage collected by cops shows Sanchez jogging back and forth in an alley behind a bar in downtown Minneapolis before approaching a box truck that was backing into a loading bay. The driver told police that Sanchez forced his way into the box truck and ordered him to move his vehicle, claiming to have spoken to the hotel manager. Confused, the driver, who had taken out his hearing aids due to the noise of the truck, leaned closer to try and hear Sanchez and reported that his breath smelled of alcohol and he was slurring his words, according to the affidavit. Sanchez allegedly blocked the driver from calling his supervisor before the fight broke out in the alley. A witness reported seeing the pair circling each other and thinking they were friends before realizing that they were filming each other on their cell phones. At some point, Sanchez allegedly body slammed the truck driver into a wall and then threw him to the ground, at which point the driver said he pepper sprayed the 6'2", 230-pound Sanchez. By the way, there's pictures of the driver. He's pretty beat up with a nasty slash on the left side of his cheek. Not only that, he's about 69 years of age. Simply put, Sanchez is in a world of trouble. He's in a world of trouble. There's no other way around that. I mean, how do you get yourself in this kind of stuff? Drinking, being inebriated, not in control of all your faculties, that's usually something that has something to do with it. I mean, that's what it is. In this particular incident, that's what it appears to be. Ladies and gentlemen, we just got to listen. I tell people this kind of stuff all the time. You can't get addicted to stuff you never try. There's enough information out in this world for you to be educated about the things and, in some cases, the people you need to stay the hell away from. It ain't that damn hard. And if it is that damn hard, maybe you should really, really think about why it's so hard for you. Shouldn't be that hard to stay out of trouble. It really, really shouldn't. It's a damn shame. It really, really is. Mark Sanchez doing games for Fox Sports, he could end up in jail and unemployed. Let's not forget that. Okay? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number of callers. 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Javante in Tennessee. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Javante? How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing just fine. I appreciate you taking my call. And the Mark Sanchez situation is crazy. I mean, talk about messing around and find out. Jesus Christ. Also, I wanted to touch on the Chargers-Commanders game. The Chargers have dropped two games, okay, but they are 2-3, but 3-0 at division. With the tiebreakers against the Broncos and the Chiefs, we're still in a good position. Winning division is what you want to do. We've already swept the division. Once we can get the talent back, Joe Walt, the Mac Daddy, Denzel Perriman, it'll all look different. I just want to
Hold on for a second. See, what you just did was some BS. Because you're not dealing with the moment. The moment at hand is that you lost to the New York Giants and you lost to the Washington Commanders. That's the moment at hand. Okay? Yeah, you beat all teams in the AFC West and you lost to each team in the NFC East. What I'm saying to you is that when you look at the way Justin Herbert was playing, when you look at the way we were talking about the Chargers just 2 weeks ago, don't tell me you expected this. So injuries and all of that stuff aside, what do you have to say for these Chargers? Because yesterday against the Washington Commanders, they got thoroughly outplayed.
Yes, sir. Watching that game, QJ, there was a fumble. There were two plays that I can say that really broke the back of the momentum of the Chargers.
There's always two plays. There's always two plays. How are you feeling about your Chargers? Let's get to it. How are you feeling about your Chargers right now? There's always two plays. One or two plays could make a season.
There's been two flips of the coin here with the three and oh started the season and this here past two games. Okay, which do I want to believe in, or what do I want to buy into? I'm going to buy into those three wins over division opponents other than these
Javante,
two out of division.
Javante, you'd put Michael Jackson to shame with your moonwalking ass self. You all over the damn place. Call me back when you're ready to talk real football and make a decision. You dancing around issues and all that. Come on now. What the hell have the Chargers done? I mean, you got Justin Herbert that came into the season 41-38 and winless in all his playoff appearances in his first 5 years in the league. And you acting like, oh, two games ain't no big deal. Every game's a big deal with these brothers. Stop. Stop it. I should say the late, great Gregory Hines, God rest his soul. That's who you tap dancing like. Let's go to Steve in Canada. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Steve? How are you? Beautiful name.
Hey, Stephen A. Nice to talk to you. I wanted to talk to you about the Blue Jays. Being in Canada, obviously I'm a fan, but I'm not calling to rub it in. I'm calling to talk about a couple of things. One is the Jays have bats. We all know this. They've had bats all year. And they've had great defense all year. But the key thing that they did this year, late in the season, that a lot of people didn't realize, they had good pitching, but they went and picked up Bieber, 2020 Cy Young winner, and they bring up this kid that pitched yesterday, and he is a kid. The guy was pitching A-ball in April this year.
And just busting the Yankees, you know what?
He busted them 11 strikeouts in 5.1, no hits,
yes.
And then
yeah.
The manager comes out and pulls him. And everyone was booing, but I thought, you know what? They're up 12-0. Don't let the
yeah,
kid,
why waste?
You know,
why
you
waste him? You know, you never know. You might need him later on.
You don't want to bust his ego. Let his ego grow a little bit. He's a pitcher. They all got big egos. And then not only that, they pitched all these pitchers. They played like 7 or 8 pitchers, and he got to test them all out, see who's ready for the playoffs and who isn't, and who's going to show up in the next game or the next series and who isn't. And I thought it was smart to take him out and do this. So I just say this, but that kid was amazing. And Canada.
Well, let's not forget center fielder like, Varsho and how he played. He had two home runs and four RBIs. Let's not forget Guerrero, who's just been dominant. Let's not forget Springer, who made sure to smack his own home run. Let's not forget the fact that the Blue Jays just been doing what the hell they wanted to do with the New York Yankees right now.
Yeah.
Let's not forget
and Guerrero
that.
was cold before this. He got his first home run in like something like 22 games in the
so
first.
In other words, you're telling me the Yankees are the cure all. When all else fails, go to the Yankees, and they'll make you feel better. That's what you're telling
me. Maybe, but you know what? I feel bad for the Yankees. And the worst part was seeing, because I love seeing Aaron Judge. I mean, he's an amazing young man. But he looked shell-shocked when they were showing him on the camera. He just had this look of bewilderment, and it was I don't like to see that
in
young players.
I got you. I got you. I appreciate the call, Steve. Thank you so much. I'm sick and tired of listening about the Blue Jays because it's hurting my feelings. It's hurting my feelings right now. I don't want to listen about them anymore, okay? I'm not a happy man right now. Just not happy about it right now. Matt in Indy, you're live with Stephen A. What's up, Matt? Talk to me.
Hey, Stephen A. I've got two or three things I want to talk about. One, the Colts. I want to respond to your caller who called about Caleb Williams. And right before I went to work, there was some news about Mark Sanchez on the local news that you might not know. I just wanted to give you. So on the Sanchez, it said that they had video footage from a different thing of the whole altercation, and they are not pressing any kind of charges against the 69-year-old man because it was in clearly self-defense. And right. Also in the state of Indiana, aggravated battery is not something you can plea deal or get probation. It is a mandatory one-year jail at the minimum based on the severity of the assault. So Mark Sanchez, if there is video footage and he's guilty, he is going to go to jail. That's one. Number two, on your caller that called about Caleb Williams, Daniel Jones, Mac Jones, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, look at these guys, what they did when they left a bad situation. Caleb Williams, if he was drafted by a different team, would be a superstar that had any kind of offensive coach. I know they got Ben Johnson, it's new. And like you said, he's had many, many, many coordinators.
He's on his fourth coordinator and his third head coach.
Caleb Williams is the real deal. All you haters are going to look bad because I'm telling you, the kid has what it takes. And Stephen A., when are the people going to start talking about the Colts as being legitimate contenders to represent the AFC? Now, they gave one away against the Rams. But they got one handed to them against the Broncos. They should have lost the Broncos game. They think they should have won the Rams game. You know, another bonehead drop.
No, it's not about the Rams. Your Rams beat you. Yeah, you made some mistakes, but that's part of football. But I hated the fact that the officials gave the Colts the game against the Broncos, me personally. So I didn't feel any sympathy for you guys in regards to that. You know what this comes down to as the answer to your question? We're waiting for the old Daniel Jones to show up. And he may never do that again. But we're waiting for the old Daniel Jones to show up. Waiting for the Daniel Jones that we saw in the New York Giants uniform. That's what this issue is. Because we can't believe how good he's looking. It's not a surprise to anybody that Jonathan Taylor is balling the way that he is. That's not surprising anybody. He's already got 6 touchdowns on the year. Okay? It's not surprising anybody how Jonathan Taylor looks. It's not surprising anybody how Warren or Pittman looks or anything like that. But it is shocking the living hell out of everybody how Daniel Jones is looking. Right now, Daniel Jones completing nearly 72% of his passes, only throwing 2 interceptions in 5 games, 6 touchdowns, got a QBR of 80. We don't know this Daniel Jones. That's the reason. Thank you for the call. Take it easy. Let's go to Greg in Virginia. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Greg? How are you?
What's up, Stephen A? How you doing, bud?
I'm all right. Talk to me, man. What's going on?
Hey, so I got a question, man. You know, I'm a lifelong Skins fan. Everybody keeps telling me, you know, RG3 thing, you know, how sophomore year blues or whatever, they're saying that about Daniels. I'm like, dude, he's a different specimen. He is a different specimen. He's not RG3. He's 10 times 3. You know what I'm saying,
hold
bro?
Hold on.
Why isn't he in the MVP conversation?
Well, he's not because he was hurt. He missed a couple of games. That's all. Okay, that's number one. Number two, here's what I would say to you about Jaden Daniels compared to RG3. I agree with you about Jaden Daniels and how much of a stud he is. We cannot say that would not have been RG3 if Haloti Ngata hadn't nearly had his damn leg amputated with that hit. If RG3 had never gotten hurt and somehow was able to recover from that injury, I think there would have been an entirely different narrative written about RG3. I really do.
Snyder is the owner? Hell no.
Say what?
Even with Daniel Snyder as the owner? Hell no.
Well, I'm just saying, he was balling. His rookie year, he was balling. He was balling, mm-hmm. and he had the nation's capital abuzz. So what I'm saying to you is because he was balling the way that he was balling, had that continued, he would have been that dude. Now, in fairness, RG3 made a big mistake never truly learning to slide. Never truly learning to slide. That was a big, big deal. No doubt about that. That's true. But that's about it, bro. Other than that, I can't knock RG3 in terms of what we saw his rookie year. If Haloti Ngata was over 300 pounds and the damage he did on that hit to RG3's leg, oh my God. It was shot, and we knew that RG3 shouldn't have played in that playoff game. He was in no condition to do it. No condition. But he tried. So there you have it. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. Your calls and more coming up next before our legal analyst comes on to talk about Mark Sessions. Don't touch that dial. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.
Think you have what it takes to debate Stephen A.? Call the show at 888-MAD-DOG-6. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
Past hour number two, back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to JJ in Dallas. You're live with Stephen A. What's up?
Hello?
What's going on, man? You're live on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Stephen?
I'm all right. Go ahead, bro.
I just wanted to make this comment about what you just said about Daniel Jones. And being from New York, you know how tough the media is covering all of New York teams. Daniel Jones just couldn't handle it. He's now in a small market where he can deal with it mentally better. That's why he's coming into his own. He just couldn't handle the New York media, the New York pressure. And now you're seeing what it's like when you skip. Not all people can play in New York. You know that.
Well, everybody can't handle the pressure, but you also have an obligation at the organization. You also have an obligation to look at the organizational structure around him. And when we think about the New York Jets, what is there to say? I mean, this is a truly, truly moribund franchise. And I got to tell you something right now, and I don't enjoy saying this, but when we think about this is the kind of stuff that you have to watch out for in New York. All right. So the New York Jets right now, right, are now one of the worst teams in all of football. They're 0-5, okay? This is what we got to look at, okay? Now, check this out. If you look at Aaron Glenn, doesn't he look like a damn fool running down the sidelines, cheering the way that he did when the Jets scored a touchdown weeks ago? See how they're going to hold on to that image? Because, you know what? You're not composed the way a coach is supposed to be. And they talk about, oh, that being, you know, player, you know, you're player relatable. Ain't nobody trying to hear that. You got to win. Players relate to people that's going to help them be successful. They gravitate to people that's going to help them be successful. You talk a good game, all of a sudden, listen, I'm not rooting against Aaron Glenn. I'm not knocking the man. I'm just speaking facts. You get the job. You could have picked up the phone and called Aaron Rodgers and told him, we don't want you to come back. But you had him fly all the way across the country on his own dime to have a conversation with you, only to tell him that, you know what, you're going in a different direction. It was very insulting. You didn't seem to give a damn about that. Then he beats you in the opener and makes sure to take a shot at you. in the aftermath of all of that, I'm looking at the games that you've had since that particular moment in time, and who have you had on your schedule? You lose to Buffalo the very next week. You get shellacked in that game. Then you lose to Tampa in a thriller, but you're celebrating prematurely. You lose to the Dolphins. You're celebrating prematurely. And then you get shellacked by the Cowboys. And then I'm looking at it. They got Denver next, Carolina. I mean, maybe you could beat Cincinnati. Maybe you could beat Cincinnati. All right? There's an outside chance you could beat Carolina. Then you got a bye week, okay? It's entirely likely, not possible, but likely that the Jets are going to be 1-7 by the time the bye week arrives. What are we supposed to say?
I agree. But I still think that he's in this learning process as being the head coach, because when he was in Detroit, he had the same kind of mentality, like a player as more than the coach. And now that he's the head coach, he has to learn to mature his ways. He has to get away from the way.
But let me ask you this, JJ. You just finished talking about how Sanchez crumbled, or Daniel Jones rather crumbled, because he was in New York. And I'm saying to you, that can't happen to coaches?
Yes, it can. It can. It very well can. Very well. It happened to a lot of the Giants coaches.
Yeah.
It happened to a lot of them.
And that's what I'm saying.
It could be the same. But yeah, you're right. But I think the experience is so-called the best teacher. So.
All I'm trying to tell you is this. Don't expect patience. Don't expect patience when it comes to, you know, anything in New York, whether it's coaches or players or executives. New York ain't, listen, we got other things to do, man. We're too preoccupied with our time. In New York City, there's a lot of congestion. It's high taxes. You know, it's hustle and bustle. People, when they make time for stuff, they want it to be worth their while. They don't want to be hoodwinked. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they don't want that. And that's what you got to watch out for, because the Jets ain't giving you a damn thing to cheer about. It's just more the same. Woody Johnson should have stayed over as ambassador to the U.K., ever since he's been back, he's brought nothing good with him. Others would say it's just the truth. There's no way around it. Let's go to Bobby in North Carolina. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Bobby? How are you?
Stephen A., how are you, brother?
I'm good. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Good. Yeah, so I'm from Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn. By the way, I just read your book. It was fantastic. I'm down in North Carolina now, so I just want to say, great book. I really enjoyed it. That's part one.
Thank you.
Well, part two, I got a Met question for you. I'm a Met fan. And my sons were very excited this year when they brought over Soto. And I said, listen, I said, we don't have the pitching. I don't care what you say. They had Senga starting for a while. I need to know who in the Mets organization thought that starting pitching crew was going to get them to the promised land. Because I was
evidently,
not remotely David surprised.
Evidently, I mean, David Stearns. It's the man running the show.
Ridiculous. So bad. I mean, I am not surprised at all. I predicted it from the beginning. I said, unless Soto can get on the mound and throw six innings, I said, you know, all joking aside, I said, we don't have the horses and the pitching to make it happen. So, you know, I don't know why anybody's surprised that they kind of fell apart, because, you know, you guys
couldn't get out of the third inning with your rotation.
Thank you.
Spent a month not being able to get out of third inning.
So with all this money, and this owner, who's, you know, the richest owner in baseball, whatever, I'm like, so how on earth do you not?
But here's what I'm saying to you. No one saw that coming. See, when we look at their pitching and whatever, we didn't see it being that bad. We thought they'd make it to the postseason. And our question was, can they compete with the Dodgers? Can they compete with the Phillies? We didn't see this coming.
They don't even make the playoffs. I never thought the pitching was there for the long haul. You know, to your point, these guys came out of the third or fourth inning. Middle reliever was, you know what, garbage. So
yeah, but McLean, Sprout, Tong, they all came on late, and they showed they had value. And so, the problem was your starting rotation couldn't give you anything, and you overused your relief. And as a result, you didn't have much when it really, really counted. That's what really happened to them.
Nah, but do you think McLean was on the table at the beginning of the year when they looked at the rotation? They weren't thinking
about
him yet.
Not at all.
That's a gift. That was a gift. So, yeah. You know, so I guess the real question is, what are they going to do next year? I mean, maybe they got the lineup, but if they don't go out and get some serious starters,
they
got
to go out and get an ace. They got to do the same thing the Yankees got to do. They got to go out and get an ace. That's what they have to do.
That's all I wanted to hear.
Appreciate it, man.
Couldn't agree more.
Thank you so much. Take it easy. Let's go to Tom in Connecticut. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Tom? How are you?
Hi, Stephen A. Love all your format. Love you on Cuomo, too. You guys are your top shelf. Hey, listen.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. What's going on with you? What's on your mind?
Well, you're my buddy, but you're not giving my L.A. Rams some love. Come on. Stafford, what do you got against Matthew Stafford? He's a first-round Hall of Famer.
I think Matthew Stafford is great. I think he's a future Hall of Famer. What are you talking about?
No, but you gave Dak a little edge, but I mean, I'm sure.
I'm talking about as an MVP. Who cares what Dak does in the regular season? We know where his kryptonite arrives.
I know, but I need some advice now from the master, John McVay. Do you know him? Is he a good guy? Why is he?
You mean Sean McVay? You mean Sean McVay?
Yeah, why is he calling his own plays?
Sean is a fantastic coach. He's a brilliant dude. He really, really is.
That was a bonehead last play. That play with Kyrie Williams against up the middle, that just didn't cut it, Stephen A.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, that happens, but that's just one play. I mean, do you notice he has them in every game? He has them competing.
Yeah.
No matter what, you're never able to count the Rams out. Okay?
No,
when they went all in to ship Jared Goff to get Matthew Stafford, what did they get out of it, and what did Detroit get out of Jared Goff?
Oh, great. I tell everybody, Jared is great. Jared is no comparison to Stafford. No comparison. Stafford's clutch.
There we go. And that's all you need to know. So you're going to be in good hands. The Rams will have a say when all is said and done. It's just that it's a lot more competition in the NFC. But the Rams will have a say because of Stafford. As long as Stafford is there, they're going to have a say. Make no mistake about that. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Stephen in Florida. You're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, Stephen.
Stephen A., how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I've had better days with my New York teams wet in the bed like this, but I'm all right.
Well, my youngest son is a Yankee fan also, so believe me, he feels exactly the same way you do. Believe me.
It's disgusting.
The same way you do.
It's disgusting. It's really pissing me off. But go ahead.
Well, speaking of disgusting, I'm also a Raiders fan. I think I called you a couple weeks ago. And, hey, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Now, people talking about the Cowboys ain't won nothing in 30 years. It's been over 40 years for us. The last Super Bowl the Raiders won, it was their second year in L.A. That's the last time the Raiders won a Super Bowl. So it's been a while. You know, they've been to L.A., came back to Oakland, now they're in Vegas. So, you know, I don't know what's happening. I'm just grin and bear. I'm a lifelong fan. You don't give up even as bad as they played.
Last time you won the Super Bowl was 1983. We know that part. You lost the Super Bowl when your man ended up, your offensive lineman ended up going AWOL and was in Mexico. Okay? So you got that going on. Now you end up getting shellacked by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was a bad one right there. You know, that was really bad for you, no doubt about that. But in the end, the Raiders just don't have a quarterback. And by the way, I don't know if you need it. Listen, I respect Pete Carroll and I respect his years of service or whatever. And when he was hired, I didn't think it was a bad hire. But in the end, you need something better than him. You need something better than him for the Raiders to turn it around.
We'll have to draft somebody coming up in a few months. Now, I guess the best I can look forward to is basketball season. I'm also a lifelong Warriors fan, so we'll have to see what comes basketball season.
No. I think you're the Warriors. You kept Kuminga. You just brought Seth Curry to join his brother Steph Curry. You still got Draymond, okay? You still got Jimmy Butler. You got some decent pieces. I think that you're going to be a force to be reckoned with. I don't think you're going to win the championship, but you could have something to say about it because you got too many skilled people.
Well, they told us that for years ago. Hey, how'd that work? I went to a few parades, so hey, I ain't got no problem with that, you know?
All right, man. Hey. Appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Let's go to Henry in Detroit. You're live with Stephen A. Henry, go ahead real quick.
Stephen A., honor and pleasure. I'm actually just driving back from Cincinnati where the Lions just put a smack down on them, the Bengals, yesterday. After week one, a lot of doubters, including a lot of Detroit fans. And obviously, I think I heard you say a few things about Detroit Lions. But what do you think the 4 weeks after? Are they the top team in the NFC now that the Eagles have lost?
Top four teams in the NFC. I would say the Eagles are still a top four team. I would say it's Detroit, I would say it's Tampa Bay, and I would say it's the Los Angeles Rams.
Okay. So still possibly a first-round bye. I'll take that. And what about the other American League division series, Tigers and Mariners? What are your thoughts on that? We hear a lot about the Yankees, and they're probably done, but what do you think about this series?
Don't know. Haven't seen enough from the Tigers. I know the school is no joke, but I will tell you that Seattle has been formidable all year long. Big time victory by them last night. I just look at them right now, and I haven't watched either team enough to make an educated decision on who I think is going to win. But I just get the sneaky suspicion that Seattle is going to answer the call, and they're going to advance to the ALCS.
All right. We'll see. A couple big games coming up this week, and appreciate you taking the call.
Thank you so much. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number. Call up this 888-623-3646. Mark Sanchez, former quarterback for the New York Jets, present Fox Sports analyst, is in a world of legal trouble. How much exactly and why exactly? We'll find out next when legal analyst extraordinaire Ryan Smith comes on the show. Don't go away. It's the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Every NFL game is on SiriusXM. Tonight at 8:15 Eastern, the Jacksonville Jaguars will host the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Listen to the Jaguars feed on Channel 85 or 225. The Chiefs feed on Channel 83 or 226. And the national feed on NFL Radio, Channel 88. You can also catch all the action on the SiriusXM app. Just search Jaguars and Chiefs. 43 minutes past hour number 2, back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. It's always an honor and privilege to have my next guest on the line with us right now. Does a great job as my colleague covering doing SportsCenter. Obviously a legal analyst extraordinaire for both ESPN and ABC. The one and only Ryan Smith is here with us right now. What's going on, big time? How are you, man?
Stephen A., man. Good to talk to you. I'm good. How you doing?
Good to talk to you. Listen, Mark Sanchez, this story is growing wilder and wilder by the hour. So tell us what you know, and what kind of predicament does Mark Sanchez now find himself in?
Well, what we know is about 24 hours ago, Mark Sanchez was charged with 3 misdemeanors in connection with a situation involving a food delivery driver. It appears that Mark Sanchez had ordered some food. The delivery driver had asked to park in a certain area. There was some sort of altercation. The allegations are Sanchez pushed the driver. The driver then responded by stabbing him and pepper spraying him. And Mark Sanchez was eventually charged with misdemeanors. Overnight, one of those misdemeanors got elevated to a felony, which made Mark Sanchez's life a whole lot more difficult. It's a 5th-degree felony battery, which is essentially an unlawful touching, an unlawful contact with somebody else without their consent. And a felony means there's the potential for jail time, 1 to 6 years under the Indiana statutes where this happened. So in a sense, what seems to be an issue where he ordered food and there was some sort of altercation has become something that could result in felony charges and felony conviction for Mark Sanchez, which again carries potential jail time. Jail time.
We were talking about it, and apparently the guy was, you know, had one of them grease trucks where you were unloading grease from a building or whatever into the truck, and, you know, that's what he was there for, and Mark Sanchez got into the truck, and he asked Mark Sanchez to get out of his truck and took out his hearing aid because he was 69 years of age, if my understanding is correct, and he didn't hear Mark Sanchez correctly, and then allegedly Mark Sanchez attacked him from then on. We saw the pictures in the New York Post and online and other places. It looked pretty bad. How common is it for the local authorities to literally change their positions like that, from a misdemeanor to a felony? How common is that?
It's not uncommon, because what happens is you got the officers who are on the scene who assess the scene, and they take a look at the man. They might see the extent of his injuries, and they might recommend, hey, let's charge it one way. But one thing that can happen, I'm not sure if it happened in this case, is overnight, when prosecutors get involved, when they start hearing more of the story, things can change. I think people sometimes don't realize that because charges start out a certain way doesn't mean they can't end up a completely different way based on the extent of the injuries. And one thing that's interesting about elevating it from a misdemeanor to a felony is when you elevate it to a felony under the Indiana statute, it's because of serious bodily injury. So there must have been something that happened in this altercation where they believe Mark Sanchez had contact with this man, and the injuries that might have looked one way, maybe 24 or 48 hours ago, looked completely different when they started assessing the charges again and said, hey, we got to raise this to a felony just because of the extent of what happened.
Well, listen, I mean, the thing about it is that Mark Sanchez is seen on tape, on footage, staggering and stumbling around with stab wounds to the right side of his chest. So for him to all of a sudden have misdemeanor charges upgraded to a felony, it must be, I mean, they must have staggering evidence against him to make that kind of assertion. Even though he's hospitalized with stab wounds, they still saying we're charging you with the felonies, and we're not charging the other guy with anything.
Yeah, Stephen A., the first time I saw this series, the first time I saw this story, I thought something doesn't make sense here, because usually the person who is in the hospital with the injuries, the stab wounds as we hear about them, usually that's the person who we consider the victim. But it lends itself to believe in this case, at least in my opinion, that something seriously wrong happened on the front end involving Mark Sanchez's conduct. Because you're absolutely right. A lot of times you would look at what happened to him and say, hey, is he the victim here? But if he did something so wrong to this man, that puts this man in a position of self-defense. I'm using my pepper spray. I'm stabbing because I am in fear for my life. And when that is a situation that prosecutors and law enforcement see in a case like this, that's when you start talking about felony. That's when you start talking about what really happened here. So you're right. In many cases, you might look at the video, you might look at pictures and say, how come he's not the victim? It's because something on the front end, and part of the allegation here is that he shoved first, something on the front end was so dangerous and so harmful that it led the man to take these extreme measures in self-defense. Now, of course, Stephen A., Mark Sanchez is going to argue self-defense if he has to go and press this. But my recommendation for him is I would be completely surprised if he didn't try to get a plea deal in this case as soon as possible.
Yeah, and a plea deal could entail what exactly?
A plea deal could be anywhere from no prison time, severe fines, different other kinds of penalties, to some sort of prison time. But this is not the highest degree of a felony for a battery in the state. So this is not something where essentially we're talking years and years and years in prison. So I think there is room, and again, we don't have all the evidence, but just looking at it from the outside looking in, there's room for Mark Sanchez and his lawyers, as this thing goes through the process in the coming weeks, to say, hey, what can we do to establish a plea? Their goal is going to be no jail time. That's number one. But the biggest goal outside of that, Stephen A., is to get this case over with, because the more we talk about it, the more damage there is to his reputation, the more this whole perspective changes, the more information comes out about what happened. And all of that is potentially harmful, not just to this case for Mark Sanchez, but to his life going forward. So the goal is no prison time. But the other goal is make this go away as quickly as possible, particularly if prosecutors are willing to play ball.
Well, it was a caller, and I don't know what legitimacy to attach to what he said, because he was just a caller, not to disrespect any callers out there. But, you know, he didn't say he identify himself as a legal analyst or anything, but he was talking about how in the state of Indiana, you know, laws are different, and when you get upgraded to a felony or whatever, it calls for an automatic 1-year suspension. Is there any 1-year time in prison?
Sentence.
Is there any truth to that at all? What can you tell us about the laws that exist in Indiana?
There could be. I don't practice in the state of Indiana, but I will say in some jurisdictions, there is a mandatory minimum. So Indiana could be one of those jurisdictions that has a mandatory minimum that says you spend a certain amount of time in jail. But you talk about the process, right? If we go through the legal process, Mark Sanchez says, you know what, I'm not going to do a plea deal. We're going to go to trial. And there's a conviction. Then we talk about sentencing and what the sentencing entails and what the minimums are. If prosecutors are willing to have a discussion about this case and there is some sort of trade-off with the charges, there's some sort of ability to adjust the charges based on what the discussions are between Mark Sanchez and prosecutors, That could change the picture significantly. It all depends on what prosecutors see this case as really being. In many ways, if they're looking at this and saying, and again, we don't have the information, if they're looking at this and saying, this man experienced serious harm. Someone else came from outside of our jurisdiction and did this to one of our citizens. We need to show that we enforce our laws. Then that could make his situation very difficult. If it's more about the injuries are serious, we believe we can win this case, but we're willing to have a discussion if Mark Sanchez does certain things, if he makes certain allowances, if he admits certain things, then maybe we change the picture in this. That could happen too.
I'm wondering about the plea, you know, the power of a plea deal. In other words, in states like in Indiana, if indeed it calls for a mandatory 1-year sentence, for example, you know, do you plead yourself out of that, or does I'm just asking to be educated on the law itself, not in the state of Indiana, but just from a generic perspective. When a state has a mandatory ruling, okay, it calls for an automatic 1-year, a 1-year period of time in jail. Do you get to wiggle your way or negotiate your way out of that with district attorneys, or is it hard and fast that that's the rule?
It depends on what prosecutors want to do, because the mandatory minimum that you're applying in many cases, or at least in the cases I've been involved with, is talking about when the case has been adjudicated. So you've been found guilty. At that point, there is a mandatory minimum sentence of which you need to serve because of the guilty verdict. But in a case where you have a felony charge, where there are charges on the table, the process has begun, but the defense comes and says, hey, I want to do a plea deal. Prosecutor says, okay. There are all kinds of discussions that can happen that also might involve adjusting of the charges. So we can't know if that's going to happen in a case like this. We can't know what prosecutors want to do. We do find that usually when prosecutors do a felony charge and there are certain minimums involved, that they are very reluctant to make deals that say, hey, if I know that a conviction is going to give me X amount of years, I don't want to do no prison time. I want to arrange for something. But in many cases, especially when you talk about lower level felonies, there is some sort of ability sometimes for prosecutors to adjust that. But it all comes out in what the discussions are and what the prosecutors, and this is why I keep harping on this, it depends on what prosecutors see this case as and the severity in which they see it existing. Like if it's a very serious case where a man was really, his life was in danger, I would find it hard for a prosecutor to really say, we've got to take everything off the table and just agree to some sort of suspended sentence or some sort of situation where you don't serve any time. That's all going to depend on them.
The one and only Ron Smith right here with Stephen A. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. I'll be talking to you in just a little bit, man. I'll come back to you. I got to tape something with you about P. Diddy a little bit later on. Don't go away. But I appreciate you, Ryan Smith, legal analyst extraordinaire. Always appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you in a few minutes, all right?
Anytime, man. Take care.
888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. Let's get back to the calls before we get on out of here for the day. Let's go to Trent in Minnesota. You're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, Trent. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Talk to me, bro. What's up?
Well, I'd like to know what your big thing or your thoughts are on this whole J.J. McCarthy thing and Kevin O'Connell and, you know, him letting go of Darnold and, you know, we all get that, right? Every team's got a certain amount of money that they can use and what they've got, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But to throw all your eggs in one basket for J.J. McCarthy that has proven nothing but one quarter that he knows what to protect, where to throw the ball, I mean, don't you think we should probably, like, back the brakes up on him and let him sit another year and watch again?
You can't now. Maybe you can't now. Trent, you can't do that now. Can't do
why
that
not?
Now. You know why? You had Sam Darnold, who guided you to a 14-2 record last year. Before and I was so disgusted how everybody was showering him with water and all of this stuff like it was champagne or something because they had started out 14-2, right? Instead of looking at it and saying, yo, you still got a division title to win. We got Detroit the very next week. And then they got Detroit the very next week, and they got shellacked. I thought that was very stupid and premature on their part. And then, obviously, he goes to the playoffs against the Rams, and he gets beat up again. I get that.
Right.
But he still started out 14-2. And I think that to let him walk out the door, it was clearly a monetary decision, no doubt, because Minnesota, listen, it's a lot easier for an NFL team to build a team when your quarterback is a rookie, because you don't have to pay them a boatload of money. You can use resources in other places. We got that part. But you were 14-2. You know the Eagles were there. You know the Lions were coming. You know the Rams are still relevant. You were 14-2. You do not lose your quarterback to hand the reins to a rookie who never threw a pro NFL regular season pass. And that's what Kevin O'Connell did. And I've always been suspect on Minnesota because of that. And here's another thing to call out Minnesota about, because I think it's very, very important to bring this up. You got Jordan Jefferson, man. You got Justin Jefferson, I'm sorry. You got one of the top two receivers in the world. And Jordan Addison is no slouch. And neither is Tyden Hockenson. What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm not getting rid of those brothers. I'm not doing that. I'm not. I don't understand that for the light. I'm not saying not get rid of them. I'm not going to take away the support that they needed. You needed to have a quarterback that you could rely upon. And don't tell me that J.J. McCarthy is it. I'm not saying the brother can't play. I'm not saying he's not going to have a bright future. I'm not ignoring what he did at the University of Michigan, winning the national championship, completing more than 72% of his passes. I'm simply saying you don't make that decision. I don't understand for the life of me how they could do that. That's me. That's where I'm coming from with it. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel about it. Lonnie in Long Island, you're live with Stephen A. Go ahead, Lonnie.
Oh, my main man, Stephen A., Ajax Park.
What's going on, man?
Lincoln Park, Queens, baby. Long Island. Oh, hey, listen, Stephen A., I got a question. Hey, Aaron Glenn, I like him. He was a great Jet. But, hey, I'm going to give him a little pass, but he's got to step it up a little bit. They're going to get a number one pick, hopefully a top five pick next year. He's got
to
get
that. Let me tell you what's bad about that. Ready for this, Lonnie?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Do you see a bona fide star number one overall pick in the NFL draft at the quarterback position? Because I don't.
Not next year. No, I don't. You're absolutely right about that.
I don't see it.
Getting back.
I don't see it.
And now, can I get another point off?
Go ahead, real quick.
About the New York Yankees, baby. The New York Yankees. Problem number one, Aaron Boone. He's a horrible manager. Terrible. He don't do what it takes to win a game. Bunt, he don't hit and run. He does nothing but chew bubblegum, spit seeds. And another problem with the Jets, their third baseman is terrible. Their shortstop is terrible. Their catcher is terrible. They need a relieving pitcher, a closer. They don't have that. And Aaron Judge, yo, my man, you're a great player. You need to stop swinging
season.
That pitching.
In the regular season. And we're supposed to be happy with that. I got to run. Call back tomorrow, Lonnie. I got to call. I got to run. But I'm not happy with the singles. You're hitting home runs, but now you hit singles in the postseason. I see it. I'm not satisfied. Let's go to Caesar in Minnesota. I'm sorry. Caesar, real quick. You got 20 seconds. Just make your point real quick because we got to go. Go ahead, Caesar.
All right. The Giants. I'm not going to put on the quarterback or running back. It's Slayton. Slayton's fault. Thought through a perfect pass in the middle, easy catch, he dropped it, changed the momentum. Then Slayton again, fumbled the ball, changed the momentum.
That's true. Slayton did have a bad afternoon. You're right, Caesar. You're right. I'm going to end it on that. I'll holler at y'all tomorrow, same bat time and channel. Until then, peace and love, everybody. Stephen A. signing off.